Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency. Her and her boyfriend had decided to relocate for 6 months to Finland and work from there for the duration of the ski season.
It's not in line with the TikTok work from anywhere at the drop of a hat lifestyle.
No.
It's not very impulsive to tell your employer that you want to do something in 3 months' time, but it's the facts of life and the realities of life is that if you're going to do something properly and legally, often it takes some planning. If we need to do anything with HMRC, if we need to do anything with any foreign authorities, these are not organisations that work quickly. If someone is going to go and work somewhere for a few weeks, do they need a visa? If they're going to go and work for a few months, do they need a visa?
Yeah, it's harder to sort of get to grips with people, isn't it? When they're screen to screen, you can't really build a relationship there. Mm-hmm. Back again.
Here we are.
Back in the chairs of discussion. Mm-hmm. And today we're talking a little bit about remote working, digital nomads, a very hot topic for...
It is.
Well, since COVID, really, it's been a hot topic.
Hashtag work from anywhere.
Yeah. It's a popular mm-hmm. thing everywhere, like on LinkedIn now, it's like a big deal, isn't it? Like remote working policies, all this stuff. So I'm going to cover some relevant stuff here today. Straight in with the email.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Hi, Alyssa. We've had a recent influx of new recruits assisted by our remote working policy. They've got a policy already. Mm-hmm. It has been working really well. Staff are productive and seem settled and happy. Anyway, we were on the weekly stand-up and I noticed Ava was not at her usual desk. I could see mountains behind her. It looked amazing, to be fair. I asked her if I could have a quick word after the meeting and I asked her where she was. She said her and her boyfriend had decided to relocate for 6 months to Finland and work from there for the duration of the ski season. She has said she is getting up working first thing in the morning and doing a few hours. Then she goes skiing in the day and works into the evening. We don't have an issue with the time she's working. She's productive and isn't customer facing. My concern is, can we legally pay her in Finland or even continue to employ her?
So I'm very jealous of working for 6 months skiing in Finland. Sounds amazing. Yeah, and the fact that this employer are like, yeah, if she gets up early, works a few hours, they're totally, you know, really, really laid back about this. Mm-hmm. The concern is the legalities of the situation here, mm-hmm. which is, you know, can they employ somebody 6 months she's out there for in Finland legally, and how does that work? So quite a bit for us to go through here. Mm-hmm. One, we've got a really accommodating employer, but we might have employers that perhaps aren't so accommodating or can't have this level of flexibility. But also the nitty gritty of, well, is this legal? How on earth do we pay her? Where does she pay tax? And we're not going to necessarily have all of those answers. It's all in the planning.
These seem really understanding, to be fair, and like good culture.
Really good culture. Your favourite word, good culture.
Love that. Let's jump straight into the questions. We'll go it again, as we always do, in the format mm-hmm. of going from an employer first. Mm-hmm. So what legal and logistical considerations should employers be aware of when an employee moves abroad unexpectedly?
So with this one, we're going to start with logistical, because the employee's taken herself off. She's already there. Mm-hmm. She's gone. And what I would say is, even for the most laid back and flexible employers, when somebody does this without telling them, it can cause problems. And it's something that, so there's two or three clients who are going to think I'm talking about them, but actually this is something that we seem to be coming across every week, mm-hmm. is where employer rings me up and says, this person's taken themselves off to another country. They haven't told me that they've gone. They've done it without notice. Mm-hmm. Now, the notice point here isn't necessarily about control. It's so that we can plan this properly to make sure that it's done legally and so that we don't end up in a situation where we can't employ somebody. So what we expect and what we hope from an employee is that they will say, this is what I'm planning on doing in a few weeks' time. How can I work with you to make sure that this all goes to plan mm-hmm. and that everything's set up properly? The logistics become much more of a nightmare when we're playing catch up, because if we need to do anything with HMRC, if we need to do anything with any foreign authorities, these are not organisations that work quickly. It can take several weeks for things to go through or for us to get approvals, authorizations, or even in some situations, get visas. So if we're playing catch up, it makes it much, much harder and it's much more difficult for it to be legal.
Yeah, the more, I mean, the more we talk, there seems to be a running theme of like catching mm-hmm. stuff early.
Yes.
Like, so you can plan ahead and, mm-hmm. and get these things, like you say. I mean,
and have conversations. I mean, I know it doesn't, you know, there's no, it's not in line with the TikTok work from anywhere at the drop of a hat lifestyle.
No.
It's not very impulsive to tell your employer that you want to do something in 3 months' time, but that's, it's the facts of life and the realities of life is that if you're going to do something properly and legally, often it takes some planning.
All these posts on LinkedIn of people working from Portugal, you're not seeing like, I got this letter from HMRC to verify my working
exactly.
abroad. You don't see
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All you see is the very slick kind of video of them leaving customs, arriving in Portugal, and there's a full IT setup
yeah,
there ready
yeah,
waiting for them.
With their carry-on luggage. So that's the logistical side of things. What about the legal, which is, I'm sure people are very interested in that.
So with the legal side of things, it absolutely depends on where you're going.
Okay.
So we have left the EU following Brexit. It's not quite so easy to go and work mm-hmm. in different jurisdictions, different countries. Now, there are some countries that have what's called a digital nomad visa, where mm-hmm. you can go and plug in and work, provided that you meet certain criteria. Now, some of those criteria are quite strict. So, for example, in Portugal, you have to earn a certain amount and be able to show that you've got a certain amount of money coming in. You have to be able to show that you have got things in place for a certain period of time as well. It's not just a case of waving your digital nomad visa, rocking up and working off a beach for a few days a week. Mm-hmm. There's also visa considerations, and there's some really kind of interesting conversation to be had around how far we take this. So if someone is going to go and work for somewhere for a few weeks, do they need a visa? If they're going to go and work for a few months, do they need a visa? If you're going to France on holiday for 2 weeks and you might plug in and do a bit of work here and there, do you need a visa? How far do we take it?
Do you need a visa to do that?
It depends on the country that you're going to. So this is why the planning is so important. Yeah. So in some countries, if you're on a tourist visa and the work that you're doing is incidental, you're logging on, just checking stuff now and again, it's unlikely that you're going to need a work visa for that. Mm-hmm. But if you are going abroad to work because that's a lifestyle choice for a few weeks or months, the work isn't really incidental. You're working,
purpose,
but you happen to be, you, but the purpose of it is you want to be somewhere nicer while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. The chances are, depending on the country, again, because the rules are different depending on where you're going, that you could be breaching a tourist visa by doing that. In this situation, they were going for 6 months and the work wasn't incidental. They were going to be working essentially full time every day. So a visa would be absolutely crucial, I imagine, in this situation. I don't know the ins and outs of the Finland arrangements with work. We actually referred to an immigration specialist over there on this. But one thing we really need to be mindful of is, depending on the work that the employee is doing, is have we accidentally set up business in another country? Because if we have got someone who is closing contracts in a foreign country, or they are working with local people in terms of the work that they are doing, you may well by accident be having a business presence in that country, which is going to attract attention from authorities over there, which could result in you paying taxes over there, being fined, or even your employee being deported if things aren't done properly.
Or sent back home.
They could be sent back home.
Oh, crikey.
So, and potentially banned from the country, depending on
the employee or the business.
Both. So the employee and the employer. So depending on the country, it's like some countries maybe, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. Yes, we have digital nomads here all the time. It's not the end of the world. Other countries, if they think that you have a business presence and you haven't set up a business properly there and you're not following the rules, we could end up in hot water and we could get ourselves in some real kind of legal corners here. So it's really important that we understand from a legal perspective where someone's going, mm-hmm. how long they're going for, what are the rules of that country in terms of what someone's allowed to do, and are we going to end up tripping over anything that could result in either us ending up with some sort of tax or enforcement, or the employee getting in trouble as well?
That government might want a piece of the pie.
Exactly. Mm. So it's unlikely, you know, if you go to Spain with your family for a week and you sat by the pool and check your emails, it's unlikely Border Force are going to chuck you out. But if we're doing anything where the work isn't just kind of incidental to why you're there, it's really important that we check the rules.
Finland's a bit of a specific one as well.
Yeah, so from memory, there was some quite strict criteria with this one. And because it was over 6 months, a work visa was needed for this. If we're in a situation where we've got someone who wants to go longer term, So we had a client where somebody decided they were moving abroad full time, and actually they'd already done it. The only way that we could get around that without going and setting up a business in that country was to have them employed locally by an employer of record.
Okay.
So we, as a business in the UK, paid a company that was based in that country, and they manage the HR compliance, and they technically employ the employee over there.
You pay them through that?
Yes. Yeah, okay. So it's a workaround, essentially, so that we're not having to set up over there. The employee can sort their visa out, but all the compliance is dealt with locally, and they are employed locally by a business based in that country.
A little workaround.
Exactly.
Nice.
A legal workaround.
A legal workaround, yeah, just to confirm. Second question from the point of an employer. What impact might the employee's decision to move abroad have on team dynamics and working with clients?
So when somebody is working remotely, they may well say, well, what does it matter where I am? I'm managed remotely. It shouldn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, which you wouldn't care which room in my house I'm sat in. You wouldn't care if I'm sat in my house or actually if I'm in a WeWork or somewhere like that. So what does it matter if I go to another country? There's a couple of differences here. One, time zone. If you've got somebody who moves across several time zones, are they going to be able to undertake their work at times that are acceptable to the business? So you may have some people who, where it doesn't matter if they're working in the night in UK time, that they're not customer facing. So actually you don't care when they're working, like this situation. Mm-hmm. They're not particularly bothered when she's skiing or when she's working. Or it may be that actually the work needs to be conducted during core UK business hours. So time zone's one thing. Secondly, if you have someone who works remotely, often we have a clause in their contract, so back to contracts and policies, that says we may require you to come in for training, or where there's a performance or a disciplinary issue, that actually we conduct those as a matter of business face-to-face. So you need to be able to have the facility or the ability to come in. That can be much more difficult when somebody works abroad, because it could be, well, who's going to pay for me to travel back? Mm-hmm. Is that on the employee because they've chosen to go abroad? They've not been sent there by the employer. But where we have things that are quite reactive, where we think either we're going to change our policy on remote working, or we need to consult with an employee about things like redundancies or workforce changes that we feel are done because they're quite difficult messages face to face, or where there's a real performance issue where we're not getting anywhere and that we've got a line manager who's struggling with that remote relationship, it's much, much harder to recall somebody into the workplace when they've moved abroad.
Yeah, it's harder to sort of get to grips with people, isn't it? When they're just screen to screen, you can't really build a relationship there. Mm-hmm. And I imagine the trust can suffer as well.
It can, particularly where if there's a perception that somebody isn't pulling their weight, mm-hmm. or they've isolated themselves from the team members. So they're logging on, doing their work, but they've got no interest in either any social connections or team dynamic connections with their team. If there's then a perception that they're not pulling their weight, and there's this glamorous kind of image of them off doing what they want while they're abroad, it's, you know, oh, it's all right for them, they get to go and do this, it can create rumblings in the workforce. And that is for HR and the employer to manage. We shouldn't be letting negative kind of feeling rumble through the workplace. We should be getting to grips with that, but it's something to be mindful of.
Bit of like peer-to-peer resentment creeping in, yeah. Third one, are there any contractual obligations or agreements that the employee may have violated by relocating without notifying the employer?
Potentially. So many employers, particularly where they've got remote working in place, it will say before you move work location, obviously not from your living room to your kitchen or something like that. You know, if you're going to significantly alter your working arrangements, that you have to notify the employer first. So kind of works both ways. You know, if your employer was going to move your office, you'd expect to be told.
Course,
equally,
yeah.
If you're going to change your working arrangements and it could impact the employer, you need to notify them. And what an employee may say is, well, what business is it of theirs where I work? Well, if you move out of the country, there's GDPR, one of our favourite subjects.
Yeah, absolutely.
GDPR considerations and also IT security considerations. So if someone's logging in from a foreign country, is their connection secure? Are they still able to access our systems? Because there's some countries where actually you'll be blocked from accessing UK systems, depending on what your sector is. And also, if we're transferring data from one employee to another, where's it housed? Where's it being kept? And again, since Brexit, if you are transferring personal data from one employee to another in another country, you're potentially transferring across EU lines, which could be a breach. So it's really, really important. It's boring stuff. It's not the stuff that we see on TikTok and Instagram reels and things like that. But this is the real considerations that a company has to bear in mind. And we've actually seen a bit of a trend. So I was doing some research on this. I don't know everything. So, you know, we do look into these Absolutely. Points in a bit more detail. I'm going to refer to my notebook here.
Some stats.
There's a movement online of employees helping each other to work abroad covertly.
Okay, so behind employers' backs.
Exactly. So there are forums and there are boards where there are groups of people giving each other tips on essentially how to go and work abroad without telling your employer. And I found some really interesting statistics because, you know, statistics are fascinating.
We love it.
Everybody, when you hear statistics, you instantly think, you know, fascinating, don't you?
Fun.
Last year, there was a survey where 32% of people who were surveyed stated they plan to work abroad against company rules.
32%?
And 14% said they would be keeping it a secret.
Crikey.
That's quite a big proportion of people.
It is, yeah.
Who are saying, I'm going to go and do this and I'm going to do it in secret.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the posts that I came across, I think it was on, is it Mumsnet? Mumsnet, that's
I've
right.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, well, Mumsnet, it's a very, very popular online forum. And someone was saying that she was going to go on holiday to Spain, but didn't want to use annual leave. So she was looking for tips as to how she could work from Spain for 2 weeks without telling her employer so she didn't use up her leave. And actually, the responses, it surprised me because I was expecting lots of people to say, oh, you can do this, that, and the other. And they're saying, stop lying to your employer.
Just like they checked
some holiday. Yeah, they actually checked her behavior. Said, no, stop lying to your employer. Go on holiday. Take time off with your kids. Don't be sat by the pool with your laptop pretending to be working or whatever just because you don't want to use your leave up.
Yeah,
everybody
nice.
Else has to do it. What makes you so special? So that actually really surprised me. But then I went further down the rabbit hole and found these other forums where people are saying, here's a link to a VPN that you can use so that your employer won't know that you're logging in from abroad. So some IT systems can recognize when you're logging in from another country. So they're saying, so this is how you mask it. And here's some really good virtual backgrounds that you can use. So it's even if you move and you get the weird kind of graphics behind you, you don't see the beach and the palm trees. And it's littered with tips on basically how to help people, how to do this and how to do it dishonestly and hide it from their employer.
Wow.
And when you look at that 14% figure, you think this is only going to become a bigger issue.
Yeah, it's going to grow, eh? Surely. Yeah,
this is something that we're going to be dealing with more and more and more, particularly where there is so much information out there on how to do this and how to do it under the radar with people.
You think as well, like, people are going to get more sneaky.
Yes.
As it grows, like, the internet will remain undefeated, ultimately, won't it? Like, Reddit, you've been on Reddit to get some of that, or...?
I think some of it, so there's Reddit, there's Quora, all sorts of, you know, and actually TikTok videos on how to hide what you're doing from your employer.
It's like a thing.
It's a thing.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm going to sort of steal your job here and sort of ask this question. Well, if we suspect someone who's moved abroad but not told us, how do we find that out?
You're asking me?
It's a point for discussion. So how on earth, from a practical perspective, would we as an employer uncover whether somebody is in the country or not if they are able to hide where they're logging in from? And the answer is, it's going to be really difficult.
It's difficult. I want to think outside the box and assume they're going to be a little bit sneaky and like put an Instagram story up or something.
You'd imagine
like
so,
that.
Yeah. So then we're back to monitoring what somebody's doing in their private time, looking at what they're doing to try and
we
uncover.
Can't do that.
Well, potentially, if we're suspecting wrongdoing and someone's being dishonest and that's our only means of finding out, it's potentially a route that employers are going to be looking at as well. Stalk their social media.
You've got to go inspect sometimes,
doing.
Aren't you? You've got to get your spectacles out and have a look.
My tip would be if they suddenly got a tan.
Yes.
Is the tan getting darker?
Yeah, take your watch off. Yeah. Let me see that line. Lovely. Last one from an employer standpoint. How might the employer's policies on remote work and international employment affect their response to the situation?
So if we're really clear from a policy perspective on, look, this is how much notice we need, these are the rules and the parameters of what we can and we can't do, then it's nice and clear. We've got a runway then for helping people to move abroad, but then also how to address it when people break the rules. If we don't have those policies in place, then it's going to be much more difficult to tell an employee that they're doing something wrong if we haven't said there's a rule about it in the first place. So it's really, really key, particularly with the prevalence that we think we're going to see with this. And I would say early in 23, I got asked this once or twice. I would say since just before Christmas, maybe a little bit more up till now, I've probably had 15 inquiries.
Since
just before Christmas, 15 inquiries with people, whether employees have either gone abroad and not told them or employees are planning on doing it.
Jeez.
I've seen such an upturn in this as a trend that actually those percentages, it's kind of reinforced my experience of this, which is you are seeing much more people saying, well, why do I need to stay here? I've worked remotely through COVID and it's like the penny's dropped. I've worked remotely through COVID. I'm still working remotely now. My company's great. They're letting me still do it. There's no indication we're going to be back in the office. What am I still doing in the rainy?
Why can't I just go?
Why am I in the rainy UK?
Yeah. It's a valid thought, but like...
I don't want to be responsible for an exodus. The UK's great. Work from the UK.
It's absolutely tipping it down outside today. moving on to employees' point of view here. Working from home is clearly here to stay. Why can't I work remotely?
Exactly.
It's valid.
You know, and that's sort of what we just sort of alluded to, wasn't it? Which is, if you can work successfully remotely, why do you have to be in the UK? And we're back to sort of legal considerations here again, which is if somebody is going to go and work abroad, we don't want to accidentally create an establishment in that country. So if there's no reason why they can't do it, fine, but we need to make sure we're following the proper legal channels, whether that is through working with an employer of record so that we can still retain the skills and talent of that employee, but the compliance is dealt with by an expert on the ground, or if someone's going to be traveling around a lot, so that we're aware of their plans, the time zones they're going to be in, that they've notified us whether they've got visas in place, and also other considerations. So do they have health insurance? So if something happens to them while they're out in another country, can they get themselves home if they need to? Or if they're going to be hospitalized, can they afford that? Does it mean that we're going to lose an employee for a period if suddenly their IT breaks down because they haven't gone somewhere where the connectivity is good enough? All these sorts of things you don't tend to see when you see the TikTokers on the beach. Are they really connected to the internet and working, you know, with super fast
broadband.
And, you know, are they really able to engage in a Teams call? I live in North Wales. I can't have a Teams call without it breaking off. I'm pretty sure I can't do it from a beach in Barbados. You know, it's those sorts of considerations. If these days without a decent connection, you can't work.
No.
So it's making sure someone's done their research. So this is where I'm going. This is how I'm going to connect. This is how I'm going to connect securely. My devices are insured. If I lose them, I can afford to replace them and expense it. And I've got adequate health insurance cover.
It's a little thing, like the health insurance is something my mum always books for me before I get, I'm 30 years old. My mum always books the health insurance for me before I go away because like she just can get the best price and what have you. But like these are things that you let slip, eh? They are.
And depending on the country you're going to, so if you go to the States and you don't have adequate insurance, your medical bills could be millions.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
So you've got to do your research. It's not as simple as they make it out to be on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Second question from an employee. How do I go about asking my employer? And I was thinking of this when we spoke about some employee questions.
This is not the time to ask if you can work abroad, Ollie.
Oh,
it's not the appropriate forum. We'll have a chat afterwards.
aside from that, in your experience as well as this, well, answer this one first and I'll do it. So how do I go about asking my employer?
So I would say do your homework.
Okay.
So know where you want to go, when you want to go, and do a bit of research.
Make
do
a PowerPoint.
I need a visa? If you want to do a PowerPoint presentation, that's fine. You know, death by PowerPoint is probably not the best way to get permission, but go in armed with the information.
Yeah.
So this is what I know I need to work from there. I've done my research. This is how I think I can make it work. I wouldn't suggest that you go into HR's office and say, I want to move abroad. I want to go tomorrow. And I've no idea how I'm going to make this work logistically, but I want to do it.
You're pitching that as a problem, though.
Exactly. So go in with the solution.
Yeah.
And it makes HR's life much, much easier. And it's harder to say no then when you can say, well, this is how I'm going to plan my workout. This is where I know customer need is, and I can be working at these times to make sure that's met. I've checked over there and there's offices that I can use. So like a foreign WeWork or, you know, actually the connection is this strong where I'm going to be staying. I've checked with the Airbnb host. So it shows that you've actually applied some mature thought to it. And actually you are thinking about the company's interests as well, rather than just your own.
My own question, you said you had 15 inquiries of people doing sneakies and going abroad. Mm-hmm. Of them 15, could you put a number on like how many of the companies would have been okay with it?
Most of them were. It wasn't so much an issue that the work was being done remotely. It was the lack of preparation and planning.
Right.
So we had one where somebody went on honeymoon and decided they didn't want to come home from where they went on honeymoon.
Right.
So they made the decision whilst they were abroad.
Just to stay. Did they come back for clothes and that now?
I think they got divorced. Didn't last very long. So it was bad planning all round, really, I suppose. But it was that much of an impulsive decision as well. I'm staying here.
Wow.
So in principle, it wasn't the fact that they were working remotely or wanted to go abroad. It was just the lack of planning. And then we had a perfect example where somebody gave 3 months' notice of what they wanted to do. They looked up local regulations. They'd already applied for the visa just in case. They had the entire thing mapped out. All the employee had to do was agree to it. There was very little work required from HR because the employee had been really, really proactive in terms of what they wanted to do and how they thought it could be implemented.
Just make HR's life easier.
Make HR's life easier. That's what we want.
And your life will be easier. Exactly. That could be a great tagline. Yeah. Last one from an employee standpoint. I have a better work-life balance working abroad. Shouldn't you care about my well-being?
So yes, there's a well-being perspective, but you're not the only employee in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So we've also got the wider team to think about. And we also have, you know, the reason why we are working is because the business has business aims, objectives. We've got client needs to meet. So yes, well-being is a good part of it. And motivated, engaged employees are often more productive employees. But we can't just look at that in isolation. We've also got to look at the wider business interests as well.
I've just thought up another one. And we sort of covered this when we initially sort of planned. We don't plan these really. We just discuss what's going to happen. But and we sort of went through this before, and that was pay from an employee point of view. So let's say I moved from England to, I don't know, like you mentioned Portugal previously. Mm-hmm. Will my pay stay the same? What's the company's commitment to that? How does that change?
So it depends on the legalities of the working relationship. So if we are using an employer of record, so we're using a company on the ground to maintain that compliance, often there's some significant fees that come with that. So it can become more expensive to employ that employee when they're working abroad.
Yeah.
And it could well be as part of that negotiation around deciding whether someone can go or not, that pay can be impacted. Because we have got their original package, perhaps additional benefits. There may well be local benefits that we have to legally give them. So it can start to stack up and become more expensive for the employer to accommodate what the employee wants. Now, it would be different if the employer says, I'm posting you abroad. I need you to go and work there. Mm-hmm. Pay should be maintained. That is a cost that should be borne by the business.
Yeah.
But this, if this is a lifestyle choice by the employee and it starts to cost the employer more money, it could well be that there's then a negotiation over the terms of what that employment would look like in the new country. It could be a new contract is issued. It could be that the UK one is terminated and they are employed locally by the employer of record. But the pay could actually be negotiated down to accommodate for that additional cost. Now, in terms of the legalities of being paid and whether it is that we have to go through an employer of record or whether we can pay the employee direct, the question I often get asked is, the employee said that they'll resign from their employment and they'll go and be a freelancer, as if that sort of solves everything because they're effectively self-employed.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as that. So in the UK, we have rules around whether someone is an employee or whether they're self-employed or whether they're a worker. We do have a blog post about it. And we also have the IR 35 regulations over whether someone is, we either say that whether they're inside or outside IR 35. So whether they are really an employee, whether they're pretending to essentially be self-employed or running their own limited company, or whether they really are in business for their own accord and their own account.
Okay.
Other countries have the same type of regulations. It's not as simple as I'll just go and be freelance and I'll be self-employed. So it's really important that we don't get a false sense of security of, well, they say they're self-employed, we can just pay them. It's their problem. If we are paying someone who is a UK employee and they move abroad, we're still going to be deducting tax, national insurance, the same PAYE deductions. The employee could well suffer further deductions in that country, either when they try and draw their wages down into that country or if they ask to be paid into a bank account in another country. So it could be that they end up with a double tax hit. And this should, again, this should all be research that's done before somebody goes away to make sure that the way that we're paying someone is legal and that they understand what those deductions are going to be.
Yeah, you don't have to be taxed twice, do you?
No.
bad enough once. Yeah, lessons learned today. So what emergency measures can HR departments take to adapt their remote work policies and procedures to prevent similar incidents to this happening in the future?
So if somebody has gone abroad and it's kind of emergency, well, how do we fix this? It could well be that we need to get an employer of record on and up and running really, really quickly, just to kind of sort that compliance out. We need to be asking the employee for things like, look, where's your visa? Where's your insurance? How are you logging on? This is information we need very, very quickly so that we can establish that everything is set up properly and that our information as a company is secure. From a policy perspective, it's something that I think businesses, particularly where people have the ability to log on and work remotely, this needs to be anticipated. You may think this is never going to be an issue for you. You may think you know your employees well enough that they're never going to do this. But I can say hand on heart, for most of the instances I've dealt with in the last 6 months, it's come as a surprise. So make sure that your policy covers not only remote working, but if somebody is going to leave the country and go and work somebody else, that they have to give you a certain amount of notice and give a list of your expectations in terms of what they have to provide in terms of things like visas, how they're going to work, where they're going to work from, what the connection's going to be like, what devices are they going to use? Are you going to permit company devices to be taken abroad? Or do you expect them to use their own and log on using a secure connection?
Preparation is key, isn't
exactly.
it? Closing thoughts as well. So what actually happened here? Mm-hmm. Like,
so in this instance, we use an employer of record.
Okay.
So she was able to spend 6 months, and she's still there. Wow. Lucky thing. So ski season out in Finland. Compliance was dealt with by employer of record on the ground. Arrangements working really well from what HR reported back. So she works in the morning, skis in the afternoon, a bit more work in the evening before she goes out for a bit of après. So it's worked really, really well. This employee's really, really engaged and she's really valuable for the business. Yeah. And it may even become something that they do on an annual basis with her to allow her to have that lifestyle.
Lovely. A little trial session of the remote work policy there. It's good to see it's actually like working for some people, it'd be fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, that is all we've got time for today, I'm afraid. But pleasure as always.
Thanks very much, Ollie. Always insightful questions, as always. If you have any scenarios that you would like us to delve into, if there's something that you've been struggling with or something that actually that you did and you'd like to see what our take on it is, please don't hesitate to reach out and get in touch either on our website or on our socials at Heroes. And we look forward to seeing you again next time. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you next time. Until next time, we're your host signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect, but by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.